This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The UN Human Rights Council. The challenge ahead of us includes the fact that the Biden administration most considerably has now rejoined the UNHCR as of January 2022. This decision in place since last week. Thankfully, I have two men to help me understand what this means, the road so far traveled, and the road ahead for the U.S. rejoining an organization that, in place since 2006, has called attention to itself with unusual decisions, especially directed at our ally, the State of Israel. I welcome Richard Goldberg, senior advisor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Previously served as director for countering Iranian weapons of mass destruction for the National Security Council, and Professor Ord Khitri, senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a professor of law at Arizona State University, author of the book Lawfare, Law as a Weapon of War. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. I begin with the news that you report at The Hill, collectively, that the U.S. has rejoined the U.N. Human Rights Council. There is a statement by Secretary Blinken about the ambitions of the U.S. rejoining. Rich, I start with you. The presentation by the Secretary of State is quite ambitious. What is it that the U.S. means to start come January of 2022 on this council that has been controversial to the point of making many people I know unhappy these many years? Good evening to you, Rich.
Good evening, John. What Secretary Blinken says he is going to do is something that no one in the past has been able to do, and that is reform a very broken and flawed UN Human Rights Council. We look back 15 years ago when the Bush administration opted not to join the Human Rights Council when it was created. It was supposed to be a new and improved version of what had come before it, a Human Rights Commission, which had gone off the rails, been hijacked by human rights abusers, castigated Israel. And as part of the euphoria of UN reform at the time, as we recall, this was going to be a new path forward to really put human rights squarely in the focus of the international community. But because of the way its voting structure occurs, secret ballot and voting blocks from the UN General Assembly, there's no restrictions on human rights abusers or actual perpetrators of crimes against humanity being elected to the council. The Bush administration at the time, Ambassador John Bolton, said, no, we're not going to join this. Barack Obama and his administration went into the council and said, we can reform it from within. We can bring together nations to say we are going to put spotlight on true human rights abuses and protect our ally Israel from castigation. They tried that for 8 years and failed. The Trump administration came in, attempted that for its first year and a half in office, were able to get nowhere with their allies, no reforms, no changes to the way the Human Rights Council operates. And in fact, President Trump ordered the withdrawal of the United States from the council in 2018. So here we go, back to the future, with a new administration that says they are going to be the ones to reform the council, with a priority being to end the council's horrific anti-Israel bias.
Professor, your book on lawfare, may I ask for a definition of lawfare, and does it apply to these unhappy discussions about the UNHCR? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Sure. Yes. Lawfare is the use of law as a weapon of war. And that is, in fact, what is happening at the UN Human Rights Council. Israel's enemies are weaponizing law against it. The UN Human Rights Council has a laudable mission, but unfortunately, in practice, has been a net minus in advancing the cause of human rights. Since the council's creation 15 years ago, it's adopted more resolutions condemning Israel than condemning every other country in the world combined. In contrast, the Council has adopted zero resolutions on the gross human rights abuses in China, Cuba, and Russia. That's because the Council's membership is dominated by countries that egregiously violate human rights, including China, Cuba, Eritrea, Libya, Russia, and Venezuela. Why do they do this? The UNHRC's disproportionate focus on Israel seems clearly designed to distract attention, to distract the world's attention from the gross and systemic abuses committed by the Council's own member states, which are rarely, if ever, condemned by the Council.
I'm very glad you bring this up, Professor, because, Rich, I'm looking at the list of current members of the United Nations Human Rights Council. It is striking in what is included. For heaven's sakes, the Russian Federation, Rich, China, Cuba. Is this part of a conversation that doesn't happen at the UN? What is Cuba doing here, given the news reporting?
Well, this is really a mislabeled council. It should be called the Human Rights Abusers Council, as you've just read off its membership. But unfortunately, it allows these human rights abusers to gain legitimization for their illicit conduct, to whitewash their malign activities, their own human rights abuses. You mentioned China being a member of the Human Rights Council amidst what Secretary Blinken himself termed a genocide going on with the Uyghurs in Xinjiang right now. The Human Rights Council, of course, taking no action against China's human rights abuses, whether it be in Tibet historically, in Xinjiang, repression in Hong Kong, unable to garner majority votes in the council for really anything there. Meanwhile, by the way, right now, they are taking action to fire a whistleblower from the Human Rights Council who raised her hand and said, I have evidence that the council is turning over the names of dissidents to Beijing. And now with China on the council, they are moving to terminate her employment by the end of the month. So, yes, this is a very, very backwards Orwellian council. And this is the council, as Orr just described it, that Secretary Blinken says the United States will take a seat on in January 2022. And they will change the path. They will change the course. Somehow they will garner the votes to protect our allies and shine the lights on true human rights abuses. And as we write in this article, now is the most important time for them to try, if they can.
Professor, I know you're very familiar with the world of legal thinking about using law against states or using law against individuals. When the UN Human Rights Council was put together in 2006, was there a warning that it could turn into what appears to be an abuse of power? Did people say this is not going to go well, or was that a surprise?
There were definitely warnings, as Rich mentioned. The predecessor to the UN Human Rights Council was a similarly flawed body. There was an effort to change things in this new structure that was created in 2006, but there were signs that it was not going to work. And in fact, it did not work. As Rich mentions, this is a particularly important time to set the council on the right path, because the council is currently preparing its most insidious assault on Israel to date.
Yes, let's go to what we know is the ambition of the council, Rich. It turns on events over these last years. I'm particularly interested in the Hamas event because I was present in Israel during the 2014 war, where rockets were raining down all around the Negev on people, on houses, and on me one day in the afternoon, a rocket fired out of Gaza Strip. What is the intention of the Human Rights Council in its investigation of Hamas?
Well, we've seen the Human Rights Council, after conflicts between Hamas and Israel, open up investigations for war crimes against Israel. In some ways, that's, you know, the tired old news of the Human Rights Council's anti-Israel abuse, its bias, its obsession, if you will, with the state of Israel. We remember the Goldstone Report, very famously back in 2009 after one of those conflicts, that became something that the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement held up at the time. To advocate for divestment and boycotts of Israel, to label Israel perpetrator of war crimes, try to refer Israel to the International Criminal Court attempts that continue to this day. But what something is new going on now is in the wake of the spring conflict when Hamas was raining down rockets upon Israel, attempting to kill civilians, using Palestinians as human shields. This council, of course, ignores all of Hamas's human rights violations, not just their ongoing repression of human rights within Gaza, but their outrageous violations of the law of armed conflict. But instead, they are turning their attention, their lasers, onto Israel, not just to accuse them of war crimes, as they have in the past, not just to label them human rights abusers, as they have in the past, but now to do something, as Ord said, the most insidious assault on Israel in its history, to try to formally label Israel an apartheid state, to give a new impetus for a new round of political economic assaults around the world, citing an official document of the Human Rights Council to say Israel is this apartheid state when we know it's a lie, we know that's not true, and we need Secretary Blinken to use 150% of his diplomatic muscle to stop that from happening now.
We're going to turn to what is to be done. I note that we're dealing with a great deal of history in the United Nations, and over these decades it's become difficult to put one foot in front of another because there are so many conflicts in the world. My burning memory is the 1975 resolution at the United Nations declaring Zionism to be racism. What happened then? What can happen now, and what is to be done when we return? I'm speaking with Rich Goldberg and Ord Khitri of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.